Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Bush on the inbounds. The baseball feed. It's caught. Off of her for the win. Oh. It's in the air. Hop Barber has it. Turns. Throws it out.
Yes!
Hop Barber. Unbelievable.
It's over. 59-58.
That's right. What up, family? It's Wood. Marcus and Ryan are here. We're on till 11:45 today when the pregame starts for Purdue and Wisconsin in the Big Ten semifinal. We've got tournament coverage. We'll hand out one and done awards a little later. Our poll question today pertains to the audio you just heard from March 14th, 2008, when the Gophers upset Indiana in the Big Ten tournament. And we've got the first half of that play here in the studio today, the quarterback of that play, Mr. Travis Bush. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's pretty good exciting. We like to start the show with a poll question. Our poll question today is, what's the best postseason play in Minnesota basketball history? If you're listening, you can tweet us at oneanddone105, spell out the one and done, or hit us on the ticket line at 651-989-9105. I'm going to direct the question to you. Best play in postseason basketball
history?
He can't
name himself, can he?
Yeah.
I can vote for myself.
All right,
presidential elections, they can vote for themselves. I'm casting the ballot. Harris Bar play was the best one ever.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we got a couple of people that were tweeting already. There was Derek Coleman with a tech in the Syracuse game.
They call that the greatest Gopher postseason play ever.
That's terrible.
Greatest Gopher win ever. Yeah. I don't know. We still going Final Four.
What do you guys think? Best ever?
See, they beat Syracuse. That was a win.
It was a win?
Yeah, that was a win. They lost to Georgia Tech.
All right. Well, you know, I got to go with Travis's play. I mean, as Travis would say, he had a show back in the day called The Wet Owl Show. He said it takes two to tango, right?
It does. Definitely does.
Well, you know, what Travis, what I didn't realize is your arm on that play. What I want to know is if Adam Weber was throwing that pass, could he have thrown it any different than you had? I mean, how many times did you practice that, you know, before that? And how many times did Blake actually hit that shot when he did practice it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about that play was, it was awesome. It was an awesome play, awesome experience. But in practice about a month or two before that, we had been going over last second plays. And I threw the inbound, and I slammed the backboard or the scoreboard. So I chucked it, and then...
And they still let you throw that fast in that game. So, Tubby still gave you the okay.
Tubby gave him the stare it. Before he...
No,
yeah, Tubby gave him the stare.
In practice, he lost it on me at that point. Man. That was like... I'm like... Never in the game, and I'm sitting there.
That was before you had the scholarship, right?
That's when he called Colorado State.
I was on scholarship then.
Okay. Well, did he want to revoke it?
I think so.
That's when he called Colorado State, said, Nico!
The savior.
You're saying it did. How many times did it actually work in practice?
It never worked.
It never worked.
No, it didn't work.
Wow. Yeah.
Divine intervention.
Yeah. So I don't know. It I guess we got lucky there.
Well, and you look at Blake's face after he made it. Like Blake somehow had the same look on that face after, as well as when he made the butt shot. Like the same the same look on his face.
I was at that game, and I remember I was wearing a boot because I had torn my Achilles.
Oh, yeah,
I was just trying to get out of the way.
Boot.
I was grabbing my laptop. I was just trying to get out of the way. I mean, you guys, like, ran into the media table.
I thought somebody was going to get there. It was bad. It was fun, though.
Speaking of media table, so if we're talking about the greatest shot in Minnesota basketball history, we got to include Clyde making the game winner against St. Thomas and sprinting down the media row bench, which there was about 40 media members who instantly were like, okay, we don't like Clyde no more. But Clyde was running. Clyde just ran right over the top and then right over. Can't forget that one.
Rob, I'm guessing that you're going to be out of this conversation.
Well,
do you have one?
You know, I'm thinking about the game, you know, because obviously I love the Timberwolves, but I also have a lot of love for the Lakers. And I was at whatever that was. It was 2005 West Conference Finals. I think it was Game 5 was the one that the Wolves actually pulled off.
Yep.
And it was a sweet moment, but it was a bittersweet moment because, you know, I'm from LA, man. Like I'm a hometown.
At least you're from LA. I almost lost respect with the Lakers.
Well, you know, I get that a lot, and I understand. I'm a front running, you know, homer at the same time. So it's like I got love for the Timberwolves. I got so much love for KG, and for them to get that win, and I mean that. that was his MVP season. I mean, that was a big time win at Target Center. But at the same time, I'm there in my Magic Johnson jersey with my mom and her Magic Johnson jersey. You know what I mean?
So the first show he did, he brought in a Magic sweatshirt. Really? We call him Front Running Rob. That's his new name. That's what Change the Twitter.
We named the show One and Done. You know, the Lakers and Wolves. Are they going to get Okafor or what?
Man, you know, I'm hoping the Lakers kind of pull off this D'Angelo Russell. I mean, he's looking pretty nice these days.
Well, the Gophers couldn't take him in the Big Ten tournament. But, you know, I look at Russell, and he's the type of player that, you know, I just wish would come back another year.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, he's already a top three projection, you know, next year's or this year's draft. But, you know, he's the type of guy that comes back and, you know, he elevates the Big Ten. You know, I mean, he and you know, Evan Turner stayed a couple years, you know, ended up being, you know, I mean, pretty productive player in the NBA. But I think Russell is the type of kid that, you know, he can develop more into a point guard. You know, at 6'5", you know, I mean, you both Ryan, Travis, I'm sure you've seen Russell play. He's got one of the best ball, he's one of the best ball handlers in college basketball right now at his size. But next year, you know, he can develop that himself into a scorer. He can develop himself into more of a leader. And I don't know how you come in, you go in straight into the NBA, you know, after your freshman year and immediately become a leader. You know, I mean, it's tough to do.
They say he is a very mature player, though. They also do say he's a pretty good leader for that team despite being a freshman. He has the intangibles, definitely has the J. Just, he might need to play a little more defense in the NBA, but we'll come, it's all right.
It's going to be a learning curve. I don't think he's going to score like that right away in the league.
Yeah, well, the NBA draft net says D'Angelo, third pick to the Wolves. If that was true.
I'm not mad at that. It's not what I want. It's not what I want, but I'm not mad at it.
And the Wolves don't defend anyway, so why not?
No one in the league does.
We got a few people who are. We got a few people who are tweeting at us that this is like that your play is the play. I don't like how they're all being like the Hoffarber play though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like I said, it takes two to tango.
What's going on, man? Like that's kind of janky. I think I was watching when I was pulling some of the audio. I was watching Fox Sports North like Hit It to Win It. And they had you both on the show. Yeah. I mean, they had you both on the show. That was nice to at least get a little shot. Because let's be honest, that shot doesn't happen without that pass.
True, but he has to make the shot too. So the pass is
the pass was on the
humility
money.
Humility out the gate, like just deferring all
that
credit.
That was on the money.
There's a little luck involved, some skill, but I mean, you know, it took both of us to do it.
I think it would have been.
Was it Leitner? I mean, was it Grant Hill? Grant Hill threw
Grant
pass.
Hill was the pass, to Christian. Did you get some comparisons to that shot, to that play at all?
No.
Well,
I mean, they both had pretty great NBA careers afterwards, so, I mean, we weren't compared to that at all.
And I don't think Blake was 10 for 10 at that point either. That's the only thing about Leitner. He never missed a shot that entire game.
No, he didn't.
I'm excited to see that ESPN documentary. It's the 30 for 30 that I hate Leitner. I hate Christian Leitner.
While Leitner's putting on a clinic here in town.
Oh, no joke. He's here in town this weekend?
Whenever that show is, he's putting on a clinic down at the Target Center or something like that.
Really?
In town.
We don't hate Leitner here in Minnesota, do we?
Man, I've heard this story. I don't know where I heard it before, but he was in the Wolves locker room and he went around and he said, "You're a loser, you're a loser, you're a loser." He points at himself and he said, "I'm a winner." I mean, is that legit? Am I the only one who've heard that? You've heard that before?
Yeah, multiple times. That's legit.
I mean, that's poo butt right there. I don't agree with that.
Was he wrong at that point, though?
It was poo-poo. I poo-pooed it. Look, the dude had an illustrious college career, but, you know, he was hated on while he was in college. I mean, I guess that's sort of the thing to do is hate somebody at Duke.
He developed that role as kind of the villain, you know, at Duke, and I think that worked for him.
You know, speaking to the villain question, I want to ask you, when you left the Gophers, did you receive some, what was it like? What was it, sir? Can you recreate that time what was the feedback that you were getting when you left Minnesota? I mean, obviously the situation wasn't entirely in your control,
right,
but I mean, that's got to be kind of hard to come home and then have to go again.
Exactly. It was weird. I mean, I didn't want to leave again. I didn't want to go through a transfer process. You know, when I decided to leave, it was hectic. You know, a lot of schools were calling. And I didn't know if I could play Division I again just because of the transfer. Division I, you have to sit out. But I guess there was that new rule where if you graduated in 4 years, you could go pursue a master's degree if your current institution didn't offer that program. So Nico Medved, he was an assistant at the U when I first got there after Munson got fired. And he texted me the morning after he heard that I was leaving and just offering support of, you know, like, I know it sucks, but whatever, but, you know, I can help you find somewhere to go. I was like, well, why can't I just come there? And we figured it out. And but there wasn't a lot of, I think people understood the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that every time I had an opportunity to play, I performed as well as I could and helped the team win games. And that's why I was there. I was there to play. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. You know, writing's on the wall. You can tell when you come back and you're not somebody who was recruited to go there. You're the first one out when the coach wants to bring in his guys.
Sure.
So I knew that. I understood it. And I was going to go somewhere that I was relied on and I could play. And Colorado State was a perfect fit. I loved it. I mean, great coaches, great opportunity. Got to start.
That's really all you can ask for as a player is to get to go in and actually have an opportunity to play.
But yeah. See, he did play. That's the frustrating part for me is I was at that Louisville game when he had 13 points. I mean, him and Blake, you know, and Al, I mean, you guys won the game. That was the game that got him in the tournament that year. And that was Tubby's first NCAA tournament. You know, and I, you know, you look back, they didn't have, you didn't, you know, finish the Big Ten season too well. That
right.
Louisville win is the one that got you in the tournament. I truly believe that. They wouldn't have won the game without Travis. So, I mean, if you look back at that season, you know, that kind of set the tone for, you know, for where Minnesota was going at that point. And talk about that game. I mean, that Louisville game was exciting.
It was awesome. You know, when you grow up, you want to play against the best. And when I came out of high school, I went to Cal Poly, and, you know, I had a great opportunity there. But it just, to me, it wasn't what I had envisioned college basketball being at all. Right. And I always wanted to play at the U and play against first round picks and all that. And to be in that game against, you know, was it Terrence Williams and Earl Clark and those guys and perform well and help the team win. And playing in University of Phoenix Stadium, Muhammad Ali sitting courtside.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than
he was
that.
Awesome. He was sitting there. I don't know if he was all there, but he was sitting there.
No, yeah. But then.
But it was awesome.
Yeah. You know, the carryover from that game to the next games was, it just, the writing's on the wall. Oh, I saw it, and it was one of those things, but it was having those experiences, you can't take that away from me. So.
It's still, I mean, it's, and it's, I think it's cool that, I mean, you have this, I mean, this historic association, though, that everybody's going to smile upon, you know what I mean, with the University of Minnesota.
Right.
So it's not like it was all for naught. Like, I transferred schools a couple times. It was like, bleh, whatever, you know what I mean? But
everybody here loved Travis, too. And
yeah.
Like, they knew. People are not, you know, there's all the online stuff. People knew what was going on. I mean, they knew it.
Hey, he's our first Minnesota Mr. Basketball in the studio.
That's right. 2005, Mounds View High School.
We wanted to get two. Blake couldn't make it today. He wanted to get two of them at the same time.
It is the anniversary, March 14th, 2000. I mean, that's pretty cool, too. If you want to hit us up, it's 651-989-9105. Ask Travis a question on the ticket line. Or you can tweet us. It's at oneanddone105. We've got Gopher tournament recap. We've got a lot of tournament talk to get to. High school tournament play, college tournament play. It's One and Done on 105, the ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105, the ticket.
These guys are young guys. They're learning every day and growing every day. The game experience helps them. For them to be able to get out there and contribute is huge for us. And, you know, it's going to be it's a huge step in their careers. And, you know, they're just going to continue to get better and do they have great careers here.
The situation, just to have this opportunity, and most importantly, the bonds I've made over the past 4 years. Like, these guys in the past years, they're like my brothers. Their bond will never change throughout my life.
Mo and Dre after the loss to Ohio State on Wednesday night. It was Wednesday night.
It was Thursday.
Thursday night. I don't know. I don't even know what day it is. If we weren't on the air today, I wouldn't know that it was Saturday. It's One and Done on 105, the ticket. The Gophers lost. Maybe done, even if they don't get into this NIT. Patino making even bolder statements than that.
Well, he was saying that, hey, we're not playing in the CBI. You know, we're not playing the CIT.
I played in the CBI. You don't want to do it.
Did you?
What year was that?
Colorado
State, we played we played Kenneth Reed at Morehead State.
Did you win at least?
We lost. We were, the morale was so down, we might as well have stayed home.
Right.
And it was like, you know, the coach's decision was to put on the players, do you want to play? Because if you don't, we're not even going to go, waste our time. But it was one of those questions you can't answer no to the coach. You know, it's like, hey, do you guys want to play or not?
Play.
No, we're good.
The question I had was, what is it? I didn't even know what it was, man. When it was CIB?
CBI? CBI, yeah.
FBI,
college basketball.
MIB?
Yeah.
DeAndre Matthew, the senior on the Gophers, he was like, what is the CBI? You know, he's like, I don't want to play now. I'd rather go to the rec center.
That's what he said.
The rec center.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to the rec center, man.
Hey, we talk about the rec center here enough. Lindsey Whalen balling up dudes.
There you go. But yeah, it's kind of a question to this team. You know, at one point did the seniors kind of, I don't want to say check out, but at one point did the seniors kind of feel like this season was lost, like they weren't going to make the NCAA tournament, you know?
Yeah.
I think at the end of the regular season, that was kind of coming to a realization for them. And the start of the Big Ten tournament, they kind of had a new life to them.
We talked to Nate, like maybe it was before the game, in Ohio State game, and he was like, "Man, we're just trying to get our seniors back into it." And
oh, yeah.
I mean, he was. They were talking. They were addressing it. Well, obviously, they were addressing it directly.
You should have seen some of the underclassmen, the way they felt after that Ohio State game. I mean, they looked worse than the seniors did. The seniors kind of looked, in a way, like a sort of a relief.
Sigh of relief. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of the season was maybe over. But, you know, Nate is a guy that he's going to be a leader next year. As a sophomore, he's going to be a leader, just like Andre Hollins was, you know, as his sophomore year. Kind of had a pretty big end of his freshman year at point guard for Tubby. But, you know, when Matthew says that I don't want to play in the CBI, you know, a lot of people, I pose that question on Twitter, you know, would you play in the CBI if they don't make the NIT? And for a senior that's been to the, you know, NIT and won the championship, to go to the CBI, I can see why a lot of guys just... I mean, it'd be tough, you know. I mean, to go out there and start all of his underclassmen, you know, and start Bakari at center for, as a freshman. Start Nate. Start, you know, Charles Buggs as a sophomore. Start all the guys that are going
to
come back next year.
They have to play.
The ones that are, you know, they're going to show up. And I'm not saying that, you know, the seniors didn't show up in the Big Ten tournament, because I think toward the end of that game, the Ohio State game, I mean, they were playing like they knew that it might be their last game. And Ohio State was just a better team that night. If they would have played the Ohio State team that played last night versus Michigan State, oh, I think the Gophers might have won that game. But, you know, D'Angelo Russell was on. Shannon Scott had a career-high game. Ohio State was making shots. They were making shots in that second half. And I think that, you know, you look at this Gopher team and expectations were for them to make the NCAA tournament. I don't care what Patino says about, you know, he didn't know what the expectations would be for this team. I think that everybody knew that they were going to make the tournament. Well, they thought they were going to make the tournament this year. So when, you know, they would miss the NIT, I mean, that's got to be a huge disappointment.
Well, I mean, after winning the NIT and so many guys coming back, fans are talking Sweet 16. Like, this could be the chance.
Really? Sweet 16?
All the optimistic fans.
Yeah.
Sweet 16. Like, we could win
the
a
homers,
game or two.
All three of them.
Yeah. Well, we got more than three. We got lots of homers. But the NIT bracketology sites, see, there are those things. There's several, if you can believe it or not. They still believe the Gophers are going to make it. You know, the bracket matrix, NYC buckets, they say that the Gophers are going to make the NIT. They'll probably have to play a road game or two if they, you know.
I think as defending champions, I think they got a little leg up there. But
yeah.
Do you really want, I mean, they're going to go on the road. Actually, 3 years ago, they did go on the road. They played three road games. They won three road games. They made it to, you know, Madison Square Garden, and they made it to the championship. But that was a different team. That was a team that Ralph Sampson, I believe, was the only senior on that team. And their whole starting five, they were going to be back. I mean, we're talking about Andre Hollins, Austin Hollins. They had, you know, Rodney Williams was still a junior, I believe. So, I mean, this is a different team. I mean, this team is they're four seniors, three of them they were starters. I don't think they want to play in the NIT on the road. Although, I'm going to bring up Matthew again. He did say that, hey, you know, if we play in the NIT, maybe, you know, we play somewhere in the South so my family can come watch me play. So
there's some personal interest, then he'll go.
But Travis, I mean, you look at your first year that you were on scholarship, you went to the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, that year at Louisville, you beat Louisville.
Actually, the year before that.
Right.
Was NIT.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But you made the NCAA tournament
your
last year there. I mean, what was that like to just finally make it? Because there was a little lull there. I mean, it hadn't been for a few years.
Yeah. No, it was a great experience. Obviously, when you play, the ultimate goal is to make the tournament and win when you get there. We didn't win when we got there, but
that selection Sunday, though, that must have been,
yeah.
You know, you guys were a bubble team, so, I mean, you didn't know whether you were going to make it or not.
Yeah, we were a 10 seed, I believe.
Right.
Played Texas. All of the postseason tournaments kind of feel the same way, with the exception of the NCAA being like the mecca of postseason play, but... just the whole experience, the open practices, seeing the other teams, Duke, North Carolina, all those teams were there, and it's just, it was a great experience. Wish we would have won, but it's way different than the NIT.
Oh.
It's just, there's no comparison. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. I was a manager, and I got to experience both sides of the fence. The NCAA tournament, I remember going out in Seattle, and you're playing in front of a ton of people, and you're waiting for this team to come on. They're after you. Yeah. You're waiting for them to get off. You're waiting for the next team to come on. It's such an atmosphere. Then we had the NIT. You remember the 98 NIT run?
Yeah.
Any of you guys remember that?
Yeah,
remember
that, yeah.
So that, they went, the
that,
first
that,
game.
That didn't count.
Come on. Oh, this guy over here.
Wow.
He's just trying to rile me up. He
throwing
does
blows.
But so I remember sitting there, and I was doing my laundry on the Sunday, and like Miles Tarver comes in to get some treatment, and he's like, man, I don't even know if I want to play. And then like we're looking around, like, and the guys are coming, I'm like, do we really want to play? But then the guys get their juice going, and then they play the game, and they beat like UAB, and then they like, go to the next one, and they go to the next one, and all of a sudden that juice is there, and everyone's ready to play. And maybe that could be this year's team.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's players say what they want for the game, but when it tips off, you want to win. But coaches can sense it. I mean, there was a few times in my career where coaches would just kind of tell a senior, you're not playing today, one way or the other. And they didn't want to be there. But, you know,
they won't win, though. They have to play their seniors. I mean, Mo Walker, next year.
Kendall Shale.
Next year without Mo Walker inside. And I mean, they have really no low post scoring. Bakari made some improvements this year, but, you know, I think they got to add another big. To next year's class, kind of a mature big that's able to come in there and kind of score right away. But you talk about the NIT. I think it makes a huge difference when you play at home and play on the road. You know, if you go on the road, I mean, the other team, 3 years ago, they played LaSalle and, in Philly. I mean, that was a great atmosphere. And I thought that team really kind of grasped that, you know, kind of being on the road. Nobody thinks they're going to win. And they did it again at Miami. You know, Miami did not show up. That was the same Miami team. They had Shane Larkin.
Yeah, teams lay down in that NIT.
Yeah, but that's the same Miami team that the following year ended up being a top 10 team.
Yeah.
But and they didn't want to play. They didn't have any fans there. They want to play. And I think, you know, if they can kind of grasp that, you know, it needs to be a great atmosphere. If they play their first game on the road, I think if they play in a great atmosphere, that might kind of charge up those juices a little bit, and it might be a win. But again, making that run in the NIT at home as opposed to on the road, totally different story. I think if last year's team would have played on the road at first, it would have been tough for them to make the championship.
Well, I mean, to that point too, we played our NIT game at home, mm-hmm. and there was like 2,000 people in the stands. It was terrible.
Sure.
There was no atmosphere.
Sure.
So hopefully, if it is here, people show up. But I mean, the fans were as interested as some of the players were to play in that game.
Exactly.
So, or be there at least.
That's why you don't want to play in the CBI for sure, because I think the Gophers would definitely hold some games. And you know, if you're not going to show up for the NIT, I mean, really.
Do we know any potential matchups?
You look at the NIT bracket right now. I mean, it's in flux, especially at the top. I mean, there's a lot of bubble teams this year. The NCAA took over the NIT, so really the last four teams not to get in the NCAA tournament are definitely going to be the top four seeds in the NIT. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, that's up in the air. You know, Illinois, you know, probably won't make it, right on the fence. Indiana, I think, will make it, but they're right on the fence. You know, I mean, Purdue, with that win that they had yesterday versus Penn State, I think they're definitely in. But, I mean, I've never seen this many teams, Big Ten teams, on the bubble like there are this year. I mean, Michigan State, I think, is off the bubble, but in Ohio State, but I mean, you could half the Big Ten, they were on the bubble this year.
No doubt. I want to ask you more about that. We'll probably get into that a little bit later in the show. We're on till 11:45. You can hit us up on the ticket line at 651-989-9105 or tweet us your response to the poll question. Best play in Minnesota sports season, Minnesota postseason history. It's at 1&Done 105. Spell out the 1&Done. We've got high school tournament to play to get into in just a couple of minutes. It's next. 105 The Ticket.
Back to 1&Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, there is a high school tournament going on right now. The 2A championship is at 1 p.m. Caledonia Melrose. 3A is De La Salle, St. Paul Johnson. That's at 5 p.m. And the 4A, Champlain Park and Apple Valley, 8 p.m. You can hear that tonight on 105 The Ticket. Ryan was worried that we were going to air the whole thing all day, and we weren't going to be like we were going to be out of a job.
Hey, you know, the times they goofed up all the times this year, so I didn't.
Like I said a couple of minutes ago, I didn't even know what day it was, and there's been so much basketball to soak in lately that it's kind of been like, who cares? I'm just going to watch and figure out what's next as I go.
And we can't forget the Class A championship game. I get hated on because I'm supposed to talk about, I'm hating on the little guy. No. Russell Peterson and Maranatha Christian start here in a half hour.
In a half hour.
Yeah, they go through all those announcements and they got all that stuff they go through. Probably won't start till like 11:20.
Yeah, you can watch that, I guess, but just do it, you know, on mute. Keep us loud.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Russ or Peterson would handle just about anybody. I mean, they beat North, who's got three future D1 guys. They got monsters. They play so well together. You know, Noah Carlson's a beast. Russ or Peterson's going to bring a championship home.
What else have you been seeing? What else have you... I mean, you've watched every... I know there was a couple of upsets. Hopkins got upset by Lakeville North. How did that happen?
Well... Honestly, Lakeville North threw a zone at him, and I don't think Hopkins reacted very well to it. To me, that was the biggest thing. And then Carter Brooks, he's about a kid who's really, you know, he's a guy who's an up-and-comer. And he's a junior. He had a big game, big shot creator. He's going to be a scholarship dude to someplace. He had a big game. And, you know, Drew Stewart had a little bit of a quiet year, but he came up and had a huge, huge... huge first round game. And then Nate Reavers, who's a guy we're going to be talking about because he's a sophomore, 6'8" skilled sophomore, and D1s are starting to talk to him too. So those
Reavers,
guys stepped up.
Nate Reavers,
6'8".
Okay, I remember the name.
Lakeville North.
I remember the name.
Sounds southern. Sounds south of the river. Reavers.
For Lakeville North,
get it in.
For Lakeville North to do that without JP McCura.
And Connor Flack, man. Connor Flack's their best player. He's been sitting out.
That was that. Is that coach of the year material?
Coach Oxton might be.
Save it. Save it. Save it for one and done awards. Save it. We're going to do one and done awards. Save it.
And we're not giving it away here.
That's a teaser. That's a little teaser trailer.
All right.
So I feel like one of these teams, too, is on the verge of like a three-peat or a four-peat?
De La Salle is working for the second four-peat in high school basketball history of Minnesota. Minneapolis Henry did that. 2001, 2, and 3. And then De La Salle is going for that. They'll probably get it, but they're playing St. Paul Johnson tonight, which is going to be a wild, fun game. The atmosphere in there is going to be great. Jarvis Johnson's looking to be the first person to start for four straight years on a state championship team.
So yeah, that's crazy.
And people always bring up about Lawrence McKenzie.
Yeah,
Lawrence was a sixth man.
He was a sixth man.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
on his dad's team. Wow.
Well, that was when he was a freshman. Dad didn't want to give him everything. Shoot. Yeah.
I know you were. It was 05, Mr. Basketball, yeah. Moundsview. I'll be honest. I don't remember what your tournament play was like. How did you? Do you remember how you guys did?
Yeah, we went to state my sophomore year. We played Hopkins with Chris Humphreys and company. And that was an eye-opener, seeing what Division One athletes actually look like in real life.
Did you play center or no?
Yeah. Nice. I had to guard what was between Dan Coleman and Chris. Nice. Now I was like 170 pounds soaking wet.
Before he got into the weight room, before Turner's weight room.
Dan's a 6'8 shooting guard.
Yeah.
So.
And then
I think Chris Humphreys, he probably was a... I don't know, what year was that for him? That was...
Senior. Okay. That was a senior year.
Okay.
He was massive.
He was a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're thinking, hey, now, you know, if I hold him at ball 16 points, I did
that
my job, right?
I walked into the gym. I remember, I'm like, well, maybe he won't show up tonight. Maybe he, like, maybe he knows they're going to beat us and he just doesn't want to come play tonight. But,
wishing one hand.
Yeah, right? so then we missed it my junior year and senior year. We went and we lost in the semifinals to Eastview. And that's the reason why Blake got that shot on his ass. Can I say that on the radio?
Yeah, you're all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit the dump button. Because we would have beat him if we were there. So it still haunts me watching the state tournament. It really does. I mean, I moved on with my life. I'm happy. But when I watch the state tournament, kills me.
Yeah, Travis has moments, though. Can I read this real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go.
They received the trophy, and Bush ran over to the crowd who was on the floor, and a student body of 100 huddled around Travis, who stood in the middle and raised the trophy amongst all the fans. You know, I don't know. It was,
yeah,
nice. We'll say 200 then.
So you had your teammates that year. You had Adam Weber?
Yeah, Adam was a junior that year.
Okay. And Billy Turner?
Maurice, his older brother.
Okay, Maurice.
Maurice went over to Northern Iowa. Play football. He's a receiver over there. Billy's out in the NFL, so good bloodline.
Yeah, what I want to know is who was a better dunker? Was it you or Adam Weber?
Me, 100%.
Adam had a 39-inch vertical that he measured at the pro day for the Gophers, and I kind of laughed at that, and he says, hey, man, you know, I used to be able to dunk a little bit in high school.
The funny thing is so Adam... they pulled him up from his freshman year on varsity. Okay. He's such an athlete and just having that body in practice. And he eventually became a pretty good ball player. But he'd get in, you know, towards kind of, middle, fourth quarter sometimes. Okay. And he was playing earlier in the game. But this was kind of try the dunk time. Nice. And he's one of my best friends. I love him to death.
Sure.
But he missed a few.
Oh, nice.
When I didn't miss him when I went up there. I'm sorry.
How many dunks did you have in your career? Can you count?
I don't remember. Senior year, there was quite a few.
So many alley-oops. And
it's hard.
Speaking of Travis's game, then we got to bring this up. We don't want to forget it. Now, it was a Pro City game back. What year was that? 2006?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, or
wasn't
6 or
that
7.
Long after you graduated from high school.
Yeah.
So he's playing in a Pro City game, and Mike James, the Timberwolves just signed Mike James.
Okay.
A guard. And Travis has got him on the baseline. He's posting him up. Mike James is like, what is this guy? Who does he think he
what
is?
What was Mike James thinking? He just got signed by the Timberwolves. He just got traded. And so he's going to play.
And he just showed up to play. He's got to play.
Yeah. But he joined that team with, Trenton Hassel played in that league all the time.
Oh, man.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he jumped on his team, and they had John Thomas. They had Sam Jacobson. Yeah. Ariel was on that team. A guy named Stephen King, who used to be Mr. Basketball. But
Holy Angel, right. Susan King was his
sister. Got him on the baseline. You know, who's this guy I think he is? Fade away. Got him.
Yeah.
And then I think KG.
Baseline fade.
KG was in the crowd. Of course, he had to see Mike James play for the first time. Come down again. I think Mike James might hit a shot. He might not have. Come down again. Travis is pulsing him up again. Fade away. Got him again.
Nobody can stop that shot. That shot got him Khalid's love. Like, Khalid no basketball, nobody. And then finally, Travis made a couple of those. Then he got to play.
So that was the game that was you were playing with Khalid at that game?
I think that might have been a different team.
Yeah, that was the college barbershop.
Yeah, that one.
Say it again.
College barbershop.
Yeah. We had a coach for some reason, and I don't know why we did. And
dude, the coach is in the Pro Stadium, dude. That's something else.
I got mad one game and took my jersey off and gave it to him because he said something. I don't remember what he said, but I got heated. That was the last time I played on that team.
So how many of those baseline shots did you hit in your high school career? I mean, that was the go-to shot
right
there.
A lot.
That's what won you Mr. Basketball.
I think so. I don't know. I was comfortable with it. It was something that I practiced over and over and over again, and it was a way to. For my high school team, I was the tallest guy who played, so I had to guard. I'm only 6'4", playing against everybody else's center, and we had to have somebody in the post as a presence, and as a way to get the shot off, no matter what. You get a lot of separation, and it doesn't matter who's guarding you, essentially. You do it right and you practice it, it can become deadly.
Did you shoot a lot of those when you had Cole and Jamal and Blake on the AU team, the Magic?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a classic.
That was fun. We had a good team that year. Cole was, he was hilarious. He's a freshman at the time and it's just goofy. I love him. He brought a lot of laughter to the team and that was something on the summer circuit, I think, that got some attention from some coaches.
I think A.J. Wilson, that was one of his 400 teams that he played for.
Yeah.
But you think of Cole. I mean, it's a guy that his senior year did not play in the state tournament, right? I mean,
Cole Aldridge did, yeah. He did.
Okay, when did he get knocked out? I think
first round.
I was there for that one.
Okay. Because that is about the exact same time.
Did not play
time.
For a state championship.
No, that's the period of time when all the media reports were about the Gophers were going to get the Arizona coach, name slipping me.
Oh, Miller.
Miller. Yeah. And then the next day, Tubby was hired.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, a player like that, that caliber, not playing in a state championship. I mean, Tyus Jones missed some state championships. I mean, who are some of the players that, some of the big name players that won't be playing this year in the state championship? I mean, they're obviously Mirakoffi got hurt. His Hopkins team got knocked out. I mean, we got Jarvis Johnson there, Sakara Neem. I mean, we've got, last year we had JP McCura obviously playing for Lakeville North for a championship. Let's put it this way. Who are some of the top names that are playing for state championships?
Well, we had the Mr. Basketball top group of five, and JT Gibson, who's one of the favorites, is in it. Sakara and Aneem's in it. Jarvis Johnson's in it. He put me on a spot. I'm blanking.
Gary Trent Jr.
Gary's in it, but he's a sophomore. Yeah,
Sure. Yeah. So, okay, you're thinking of senior.
See, that's the question. Should they just knock out that for? Should they have it for just all classes?
Yes,
Mr. Basketball,
without question. Am I wrong?
Wait, separate it?
Yeah, well, no, so, just make it so that any class can win Mr. Basketball. You don't have to be.
Why can't they?
Oh, they everybody can win Mr. Basketball. Yeah,
I mean, it's everybody. But they don't. I mean, they usually pick seniors, though. I mean,
that's what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I don't know. It's a senior award. There's really no criteria for the award that we know of, but it's usually been a senior award, and I think they should keep it that way. Bjorn Broman's another one that's on that list, and Marshawn Wilson, and those are two studs that aren't playing in the state tournament, which you're talking about. Michael Hurt, the Gopher commit's not in it. Marshawn's kind of like a one and done. That's one of one and done's favorites out here. And he's, you know, he was one. They were one minute away from getting there, but St. Paul Johnson got past him. So he's probably Marshawn's probably the biggest name. Michael Hurt's a big name out there that aren't playing in the state tournament. But most of the top players are, which is good.
More folks are tweeting at us in response to the poll question, and which is what's the best postseason play in Minnesota basketball history? And more folks are tweeting the Hoff Arbor play, which I like to call it. I'm going to start calling it the Bush Hoff Arbor. Maybe the Bush Arbor play.
Yeah, that's nice.
We could do like J-Lo.
Like Brangelina or something like that.
Yeah, so the Bush Arbor play is just, it's beasting right now. We want to hear your response. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. Or hit us on the ticket line. It's 651-989-9105. We've got maybe just a little baby bit of NBA basketball to talk about. And then more tournament play next on One and Done. It's 105 the ticket.
The best of high school basketball can be heard on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
A long three at the buzzer is good!
Wally Langfellow brings you play-by-play from the biggest games.
The big schools crown a champion live from Target Center Saturday night. Tune in at 8 p.m. for the Class 4A Championship. That's Saturday night at 8.
High school basketball, presented by Minnesota Score Magazine.
Shot it good! And it's a tie ball going in!
On Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, so we'll do some hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. The Sixers were down 18 to Sacramento, but still managed to win 114-107 despite 39 and 24 from DeMarcus Cousins. 24 rebounds. That's a lot of rebounds. Charlotte was down 19 to Chicago, but they also pulled out a win 101-91. But both teams were without a number of guys. Golden State was resting guys too. Steph Curry, some other dudes. One dropped one in Denver, 114-103. Dallas smacked around the Clippers. It was 129-99. Atlanta won in Phoenix, their 21st road win of the year, still the best in the East. And they face Golden State next Wednesday. The Warriors are the best in the West. Dame Lillard at 28 at home for the Blazers and their win over Detroit, 118-99. The Wolves lost in Oklahoma City, 113-99. Russell Westbrook is a machine, man. 29-10, 12 assists, 2 steals. The Wolves were led by Gorgui Dieng with 21-14, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks.
Down low to DeAndre Jordan again. Here's open press. Oh, what a great job by Payne. He saw that one coming. Payne. This guy does have some game. He certainly has some hops. Payne, his second big dunk of the night. There's nothing to not like about him. Well, where has this guy been all year?
He's been on Atlanta's bench.
Look at this. He throws this down from way out there.
Goodness gracious.
Exactly. His elbow is rim high.
Reminds me of like Larry Nance, 6'10 guy who could also go skyward.
Cut it out.
Coming out party.
Goodness gracious, he has 13 points.
And what's his season high?
He's 12, so he has a new one. Now it's 13. Down the lane to Payne. And he has just been sensational.
He really is.
Certainly the best player in a Minnesota uniform on this night. He's had a nice game, 16 points.
Yeah, that's right, he had 16 points. It was 16 and 15 against the Clippers on Monday for Adrian Payne. 7 for 12 shooting. Monster dunks. I mean, monster dunks. Did you heard him just now, but did you end up looking him up on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, man. I told you he was going to be like Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace. I said maybe Udonis Haslam with like maybe a higher ceiling. But Larry Nance, I kind of like that comparison. The Clippers Fox Sports broadcasters gushing over my man, A. Payne. My boy was killing it this week. I mean, it was one game. I think he only followed it with like 10 points the next game and like 6 points last night. But still, that game was like a breakout party. It was exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, my guy is Joey King. I got to go with the local kid. 20 points to help them beat Rutgers. I know it was Rutgers, you know, 14th seed in the Big Ten tournament, but 20 points, 6 threes. You know, he had a stretch there, the 2-game stretch where he hit 10 threes, shooting 60%. You know, this is a kid next year who's going to have to take a big-time leadership role. I mean, right now, he's definitely, you know, not the vocal type, but he's going to have to be next year. He'll be really the only senior with experience. Carlos Morris is coming back, but, you know, Carlos at the end of this year, was really not starting a lot of games. And I'm expecting Joey to have a lot better senior year. I think somebody emailed me, was yesterday, that the end of his junior year, or the end of his sophomore year last year, was a lot like this year, where he had a few big games in the Big Ten tournament, NIT. So is he gonna be able to make that next step? You know, I'm anxious to see that, because really, I mean, he's sort of one dimensional the way Blake was, and he's kind of like a 6'8" Blake Hoffarber. No. I'm not. It's no knock on Blake at all. You know, I think Blake at the end of his career, you know, he was able to pass the ball a little bit, play a little better defense. He wasn't a point guard. Tubby tried to put him at point guard, and that was tough. You know, if Blake was here, then he kind of defended, hey, I'd like to play my natural position. And I think for Joey, his natural position is on the wing. You know, I mean, I think that he needs to be out there on the wing as much as possible, shooting the ball, asking him to try to play defense against the opposing team's big men, and try to rebound at a high rate. I mean, that's just not his game. And, you know, when Blake was put at the two guard position, you know, I think he was able to thrive and still be able to play D and you know, hand the ball off like he was able to do a little bit, his senior year.
So go ahead.
I feel like I'm on the Gopher Illustrated message board. I got to defend Blake again here. He was better than a little bit of D. That dude knew how to play great position D. He was always in the right spot. Blake was always guarding like the other team's best wing scorer, because he was one of the best wing defenders.
Clearly that he was the biggest part of his game was shooting. Okay?
Yes.
And the same thing with Joey. I mean, there's no way that they can be asked to play out of their position. And I think asking to play Blake, you know, that point guard was just tough for him year.
That was ridiculous.
Nolan went out. And I think asking Joey to play power forward this year in the Big Ten, Patino really had no choice. But, I mean, I think it was asking too much for him.
But that's probably going to be what you're going to see next year, too. I mean, and you have to, you almost have to be ready for that, unless they bring somebody in who can play right now, next year. Joey's struggle as a four-man is he's a little bit shorter. It's hard for him to get...
Is height really the problem, though? I mean,
a little bit.
It was confidence, man. It was confidence. Well, and his confidence is picked up. So, I can understand why that's your boy, because he beasted. I mean, he stepped up. There was no hesitation. He even said it to you, I think, before one of the games. And he was like, my confidence is at an all-time high.
He said his confidence in his three-point shot was as best as it was in the last 3 years.
See, the segment is called Your Boy is Killing It. We pick a hooper. Yeah, did Marcus tell you a little bit about we pick a hooper that's been balling out? And you know,
dissect it.
That's kind of where we were going.
And yell at each other.
And yell at each other just a little bit. Before we get to Ryan's 4,000 picks for your boys,
I've
gone
through a few.
Have you noticed anybody that's been hooping this week? Anybody that you were like, wow,
that's... It doesn't have to be local, man. It could be just NBA, whatever, you know.
Kyrie Irving dropped 57 earlier this week.
I saw Lillard last week.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, I mean, wow.
That's my boy, man. Portland.
He impressed me a lot. I mean,
he's a beast. I think he had 28 last night.
When he can do it his size and get to the basket, I mean, it was garbage time at the end of the game, but he drove down and just two-hand dunked all over I forget who it was. I couldn't even, stopped watching. I was just freaking out. Had like a short.
See, he got snubbed for the All-Star game.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, I think that Damian is probably a guy that we're going to see in the next couple years kind of take that next step like Kyrie did. And put himself in the conversation with the Chris Pauls.
He just got a shoe. His shoe is so... It's
Oh, yeah. No, he's got...
He's got to take care of... They're kind of like the Taxi Jordans, but they're nice. They're nice.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
Ready? All right. High school.
So your boy
Your boys are killing it. Dude, state championship game tonight is Champa Park, Apple Valley. That's going to be an incredible game. See that. All right, some of the guys from that. Trey Jones, Tyus's brother. Love how he's maturing. Gary Trent. Gary Trent's a beast. His corner three, his pull-up jumper. Now, if Gary gets a little space to pull-up jumper, it's golden. That's Apple Valley. They're going against Champa Park. JT Gibson is a monster. He's had one of the best senior years you can imagine. He's one of the front runners, Mr. Basketball. Theo John. Yeah. Know that name. Yeah. Everybody talk Theo John. He's 6'8". He's like a John Thomas / Kyle Washington mix.
He's
awesome. He's going to be a stud, man.
He's only a sophomore?
He's only a sophomore. He had three throwdowns and three big blocks to start the game.
Travis said that, you know, he's been watching Theo a little bit too, so I want to hear what he's got to say about Theo.
I think his body at his age in high school, I mean, you don't see that very often. That's like a Chris Humphreys type body.
Really?
That footwork and his hands, and he just It shouldn't be legal for him to be on the court right now.
Yeah, he's moving that well.
How much bigger he is than those guys.
Yep, and like that's where the John Thomas part comes in, because he's huge at that age. Then you say that, but he kind of has like a Kyle Washington length mobility type thing to him. So, yeah, we'll see. He's all Nebraska, Creighton, Minnesota, Wisconsin, they're on him. So that's 4A. 3A, Sakar. Sakar's been killing, and he's got De La Salle there. And they're going against St. Paul Johnson, with Jalen Mobley's been fantastic. He's just a tough dude. That's the 3A. And then the 2A game this afternoon is Maple. It was. No, it's not Maple River. I was going to say Maple River. They got beat by Caledonia, who is Caledonia's got a dude named Kyle Sorensen, who's excellent. And then Melrose, who's bringing seriously their town plus all the towns around them. There's about 8,000 fans of Purple watching that. And, of course, Russell Peterson's playing Maranatha Christian, who has Jeremiah Hansen, who had 30 the other day to get him in state. All those guys are killing it. They're playing today for state.
Man, Melrose, those jerseys are smooth. The purple ones, which is a little bit of tickering on the side, those jerseys.
And did you see the dude coming with the chops? Like, he's those are the thickest chops I've ever seen.
I'm with that, man.
They got a PG named Caesar. They got a dude off the bench named Dylan who gets a basket and just looks like Dennis the Menace running around when he scores. I love Melrose. They keep talking about Mark Overding. I'm like, forget Mark Overding. Talk about the chops. Talk about Caesar. Talk
I know
about
if hockey can get a hockey hair thing, like a hockey hair all team, then we need, like, something for Hooper, like Hooper hair.
Hooper hair.
I think, Sakar and Ian can probably solidify himself as Mr. Basketball with a huge performance.
I don't know, man. JT Gibson's right there with him.
Really? Okay.
Yep, it's going to go neck and neck. I think the decision's coming next week, so it's going to be interesting to see who they pick.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did they already beat Apple Valley once?
Yes, they did. JT had an amazing performance at the Granite City Classic in St. Cloud. Incredible. Simply incredible is what you described that. And he had that on a big stage, and he had the win against Creighton Durham Hall. He had the play of the year, really. There was Joe Rosga had a great first half, so JT stepped his hands up. He's like, I got him. Comes out, Joe tries to take a pull-up jumper. JT, who's 6'1", cocks back, sends this ball like 50 feet the other way. Then he races down and beats everybody, throws it down and dunk. I mean, that's the best play of the year.
Well, that's the Mr. Basketball sequence then right there.
There it was, yeah.
What did he score? I mean, JT, what he scored, about 30? Versus Apple Valley?
Yeah, it was. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was big. And his team's undefeated. You know,
right?
They are 31-0.
I think that this Apple Valley team, will we see them again at this at this level with Gary
Trent?
They're
all young, right? I mean, they're all like all the starting five is maybe, is there a senior on the five?
Not on starting five. The next three guys off the bench are all seniors.
Right. So, I mean, if they don't win,
they're all going to play college basketball.
They'll be back again.
Yeah, all those seniors coming off the bench, guys 6, 7, 8, they're all going to play college basketball. Riley Parham, Steve Christensen, and Austin Korba, all future college basketball players.
But I feel like Steve Christensen said they got the best starting five in the state. I think I read that in a Pioneer Press earlier this week. Is that legit?
It is legit, I'll tell you what. Champlin, I don't know, man. They both got... That's a pretty good and De La Salle too. Oh, there's a lot of talent. Somebody tweeted me the other day. They're like, is there 10 future high major guys playing today? And I'm like, I don't know about 10. There could be 6, 7, 8 though.
I mean, that's
you got about five.
How many of them are in that game tonight? How many of them are in that game tonight?
JT Gibson's going to Nebraska Omaha, and he had like 9-11, something like 9-10-11 offers he could have chose from. Including LaSalle was one of them, Western Kentucky. Theo John's going to be high major. McKinley Wright's going to be at least mid major. Marty Hill's going to go JUCO, then go D1. Jeepers, Gary Trent.
Did you just say Jeepers, bro?
I did say Jeepers. Jeepers. I can't swear. I mean, man, like, I have a filthy
goodness.
Mouth, and I gotta say stuff
goodness.
Like Jeepers.
Jeepers.
We were out in the lobby here. I was like, Travis is gonna think we're crazy what we're dropping out here. Okay, so Gary
getting it all out before we jump on.
Yeah. Gary Trent, he's a top 40 kid nationally. Trey Jones already got a high major offer. Brock Bertram's already got a high major offer. Cameron Kirksey is on the bench. He's a D1 player. That's all in one game tonight.
All right. Well, we got to go to commercial so that you can get and tag all those dudes on Twitter, because I know that you got like 75 dudes that you got to tag right now, and you already spoiled some of the One and Done Awards picks that we're gonna get to in just a couple of minutes.
Oh, that was my fault.
The One and Done Awards. We'll figure that out next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket. Want to follow your basketball bracket but don't want the boss to catch you watching? Tune in to 105 The Ticket on Thursday and Friday for live coverage of the NCAA tournament.
Tyus Jones on the drive, left side baseline, all the way to the rim. We're tied at 81.
Shot blocked by Kaminsky inside.
Three in the left corner is good. Aaron Harrison.
We'll have all the office time games starting Thursday at 11 a.m.
The alley-oop and a two-handed stump by Landon Lucas.
The NCAA National Basketball Championships. Hear your brackets bust on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, it's time for the One and Done Awards. High school, college basketball winding up to wind down, really. So we're going to hand out some awards. Here's how this is going to work, okay? Marcus, I'm going to ask you for a Gophers award and then give Brian a chance to respond with the same award for the Gophers. And then, Ryan, I'll ask you for a high school award and then give Marcus a chance to tell you why you're wrong.
And then I'll tell him he's wrong.
Yeah. And then we'll go back and forth.
We're
with
both
it. Travis,
right.
You jump in. The mic is open. So whenever you feel like jumping in, please just jump in.
Okay?
So here's how it's going to go. Marcus, first things first.
Okay, this is a tough one. I know you're going MVP.
I'm going to go with your Gophers MVP first. Yep.
This is a tough one, and you know I tried to kind of see what people were responding to this on Twitter the other day, but I'm going to have to go with Andre Hollins and Mo Walker, kind of my co-MVP. And the reason why I say that is because
I think love there was a stretch. Ryan just waved you off. Yeah.
He's not even looking.
Yeah, there's a stretch. There was a stretch there during the middle of the Big Ten season where Andre, I think, was playing the best basketball of his career by far.
Okay.
By far. And I thought for sure he was a lock for all Big Ten. I mean, if he would have kept on that path, there's no question to me that he would have been all Big Ten. He was averaging 21 points a game, 8 straight games. It was that stretch when they won, you know, the 6 games that they have now.
Yeah.
And so I think that he was a big part of that. The first Rutgers game, the first game that they won in the Big Ten this year, he had 31 points.
Yeah.
So I
he
think
had a rough start, though.
He did.
He had a rough start in Big Ten play.
And it was one of the reasons why.
Which is probably why he's waving you off.
It was one of the reasons why they didn't make the dance this year is because of that rough start.
For sure.
But he wasn't the only one.
Without a doubt.
And Mo Walker, to me, I mean, he's by far the most improved player under Pitino the past 2 years. I think that, you know, to average 12 points a game, 6 rebounds, you know, in the Big Ten as a center, that's probably the best numbers that any center has had, 6'10 or taller since probably Rick Rickert or something like that. I mean, you know, back in 2003, 4, 5, something like that. So, I mean, to me, Mo Walker, it should have been an all-Big Ten player. A couple games, you know, probably got away from him and A.J. Hammonds for Purdue. I mean, there's a lot of big guys, Frank Kaminsky, obviously. So it's hard for him to make all-Big Ten this year, but I think he was right there, and they're my co-MVPs.
All right, Ryan, your response. Gophers MVP.
I got to go with Andre. It's a combination of career and a great year. I mean, you know,
it can't be a career award.
No, I know. But he's the epitome of what a student athlete should be. I'm a big Andre Hollins guy, and I liked how every year there was parts of his game that got better. I mean, he became a much better defender this year. I like how he played on both ends, gave it all on both ends. Now, were there some times where there was some struggle? Yes. But to me, he's a team MVP in a lot of ways. I think everything you said about Mo is correct. I mean, Mo has made an incredible transformation from when the staff got here. His rebound has stepped up in the Big Ten season, but to me, Andre played both ends way more than Mo did.
Agreed.
I can't say Mo a big MVP.
At the same time,
they needed more from him on the
At the same time, though, I mean, I think Mo, you know, when they did pressure, Mo got a lot of steals this year. I mean, he ended up getting, 2-3 steals a game. I know that's not
pretty. Travis.
Definitely doesn't mean that he, you know, he's the best big man defender in the league. But, I mean, yeah. To get a couple steals.
Close.
Mo, I agree with you, but he could have done so much more.
Exactly.
I think it was untapped potential, like the poster child for that.
Really?
I think he lost the weight, he got in shape, which he should have.
He's a divisional athlete. Poster child over Ralph Sampson?
Oh, they're tied. Those co-MVPs for that.
Okay.
But
at least Mo is consistent on the block, his senior year.
But sometimes you'd watch him and he's walking down the court. And I know you're a big guy, but sure. I mean, if you're tired, get out.
Right.
And get somebody else in.
And that's what kills you when you need a last line of defense to guard the basket and it's not there routinely. That hurts a couple times a game. How many games did they lose that were close?
We got to
keep it moving. I think Andre is really the one that everybody's collectively rolled with. So, but as far as most improved, that leads us to our second question. So it's a high school question now. The most improved player, Ryan,
high school basketball player of the year. It's, you know, the easy way out would be, say, JT Gibson, just because JT, you know, he was a solid high school basketball player. But I did not expect what he's done this year to happen. Like, quite simply, never in a million years did I expect him to have this big of a year. By the letter of the law, that's what it is. Although I like to pick out guys that, you know, that really came from nowhere. There's a young man named Sam at Hastings with an incredible year. I can't remember how to say his last name, so I don't want to butcher it. Drew Gieber, who's known as Sioux Falls.
No, the two you can name 45. we don't have a 30-minute segment.
We'll say Drew Gieber because Drew went from like a 9-point guy to a D1 offered guy who's going to Sioux Falls at 18 a game.
Do you want to respond with one? Do you got one, or do you want me to can we just go on to the Gophers? Can we go on to the Gophers for the next one? All right, because his 4 or 5 is enough. So the next one is coach of the year. So now, because I'm open, I'm asking this one to you because I want to know, it's a Pitino or Stallings thing right now. I'm guessing I know what your answer is.
Well, it's hands down Stallings, yeah, but I think that if you look at the way that Stallings coached his team after Rachel Banham went out with an injury, I think that just speaks to not only that she's the best coach, obviously, you know, between the two teams here in Minnesota, but maybe in the Big Ten. Because, I mean, you're talking about a team, and I talked to, you know, some of the bracket experts. Nobody thought they were going to be an NCAA tournament team after Rachel got hurt. And, you know, it's not a case where you just plug in another player and say, hey, you got to fill Rachel's role. I mean, she had to go the entire team and player by player say how is your role going to change based on Rachel's injury. And that's what she did. She charted it all out. She gave each player on the team, you know, even some of the bench players, different roles that they had to do with Rachel out. And Rachel on the bench every game, she had that sheet in front of her and she was marking off, you know, if whether or not they took care of those responsibilities. And to me, that's
the ultimate level of accountability.
That was huge for that team. It started right away. I mean, their transformation started right away.
I want to throw out Coach Stallings is actually going to be on the Bench Warmers on 105 The Ticket tomorrow at 10 a.m. The Bench Warmers with Dave Schwartz from Care 11 and Jill from 93X. So make sure you listen for them. And they've also got on Selection Monday, it's open to the public, 6 p.m., the Gopher women's team, you can watch the selections, Selection Monday, 6 p.m. is where doors are at like 5:30. It's free and open to the public.
Yep, just go into the barn. They're going to have the scoreboard's going to be lowered a little bit. They're going to have the selection show on the screen there, and you can enjoy it. They're making the tournament. We all know that.
Yeah.
It's where they're going, and it's been since 2009 was the last time they made the tournament, so there's a lot of excitement there.
All right, so Ryan, I know before you throw shade, I'm just going to ask, because I know I see you itching over there to just throw some shade, so I'm just going to ask you the next question real quick. Who is your most likely to bust out next year? The high school player that's most likely to bust out next year, whether they're a senior going to play college or if they're underclass.
Oh, don't expand it like that, man.
I'm opening the field, but you can only get one.
The smartest thing we've done is me not prepping for the show at all, because if I had, I'd have 30 answers for you. No, I think Trey Jones is going to bust out hard next year. I really do. I think the kid has a lot of ability, and I think he's going to have a big year. De La Salle kids, watch Gabe Kelscher, Sam Jones, and Gunnar Marr, the non-senior kids. They're going to be the leaders next year. I expect them to have big years, but I want to go back to the girls' basketball coach. Stallings, coach of the year. She should have been the Big Ten coach of the year, right? Who was the coach of the year again?
The traitor.
You give the award to somebody who has no loyalty.
She went undefeated in the Big Ten.
But she's got no loyalty.
Moving on in the One and Done Awards, Marcus, I'm going to ask you, who had the best performance by a Gopher this year?
Well, you know, I alluded to it earlier. I mean, Andre Hahn's Rutgers game, 31 points, 7 threes. You know, that was a game that really, I mean, at that point, you know, you felt like they're lucky if they make the NIT, which ended up happening, obviously, when they started 0-5 in the Big Ten. So to get that first Big Ten win,
that was a great moment for us.
You know,
it was low going
in the Rutgers game. That was our show, right?
That was the opening show. We were watching that game like, please give us something good to talk about.
And you know, I think Andre at that point kind of realized that, you know, he had let the team down to begin the Big Ten, and that's when he started to make his run. You know, and that run, you know, it included a win at Iowa, which was huge. 20 points he had there. For me to have a big game at home, you know, Blake had some big games at home. You know, I think that was huge for this team's confidence midway through the Big Ten season. Did it end up getting into the tournament? No. But it was a big moment for the entire team.
What did you think? Was any standout performances from the Gophers this year, anything that really hit you?
Hollins is always going to be for me the guy that I look at. I mean, for everything that he does academically on the court, but I don't know what happened with that team, man. There's something going on internally. I always look at teams when they bring in JUCO guys or junior college players. Chemistry changes. They're thinking about themselves. I'm not saying that's happening there. I'm just asking the question, you know, what happened?
No, that's a good point.
That's a
good point, because I think there was a point in the year where Patino decided to go with Charles Bugs instead of Carlos Morris. You know, did Carlos work on, you know, becoming more of a team player, not looking for a shot? Yeah, he did. I mean, he improved defensively, and he was the one that sent him into overtime. You talk about performances. I mean, that 20 points he had versus Michigan State sent him into overtime. That's I'm sorry, man.
But you guys make free.
You're going to bring up the best play.
It was best performance. Yeah. I want to let you respond real quick.
Andre's was a 7 3-point make. That was probably the biggest one for me. And Mo had a nice senior day too, for sure.
What about for high school? What was the standout performance?
Oh my gosh! There was so many massive 50-point games.
Then just forget it.
We had Broman had 70 in a game.
What was the let's get to the last
72, award. I think.
That's bananas. Wow. What was the last question is for the last award is what was the best play?
I talked about it earlier. I think we kind of ruined it earlier with JT's incredible block and chase down dunk. That to me said everything about what high school basketball should be, what a top prospect should be, but top players should be. That kid walked into the state tournament yesterday. All his teammates, they're an hour and a half early. That kid is like sitting in the stands, focused. All his teammates are messing around. That dude's focused, and that's JT Gibson. That play epitomized everything.
Did you have a best play from the Gophers?
Well, I already said it.
That's
Carlos
the one.
Morris,
it's
you
the
know,
Carlos Morris
in the game in overtime. He had a chance to win it. He had a chance to win it in regulation, but that shot was still unbelievable.
And then when he ran around, I was like, dude, you still gotta make the free throw. And he does it.
All right, go ahead.
I was gonna say, they nicknamed Carlos Morris, so I may have done this. The guy, like, he plays like his gas pedal's broken, just keeps going. Like, he just, hey, stop!
I got some Wolves awards I want to hand
go
out.
Go for it, Rob. Go for it.
Andrew Wiggins is my MVP, the most improved and the most likely to bust out next year, followed closely by Zach LaVine with the best performance, because I got to pick, you know, the 27 that he put up against Cleveland in December. So that's my favorite. But the dunk contest was mean. We got to give Zach props for that. And for the tightest shoe game, because those Blue Lagoon Kobe's that he's rocking are mean. I'm going to say the best play was Flip trading for KG. Flip and the Wolves coaching staff also win best dress, because Flip's a beast with those pinstripes. And Sidney Lowe stays clean. Sam Mitchell is OG Sam Mitchell. So that's how I'm going to roll with that. That's my Wolves awards real quick. You got something for me?
Can we talk shoe game here? St. Croix Lutheran. The entire team was wearing the same shoe. Hey,
yeah,
that doesn't happen anymore.
That's how you appeal to a man like me, man.
That's my school.
All right, so Selection Sunday, obviously right around the corner. We got more tournament talk, maybe dissect these Gophers just a little bit more, too. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Travis, ridiculous reverse for Ross.
For two. He's key, Mike. He's a great rebounder, top five in the history of Penn State.
Penn State, a huge win. Travis! Ooh. Oh! Right on AJ Heavens, who pooed me saying he was Jordan-esque. That was Jordan-esque. In the house that, Michael, that is two really good plays. You got to admit, Mike.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, Ross Travis was balling. Ross Travis from Chaska. Obviously, Penn State's not going to dance, but there are some Minnesotans that are dancing, right?
Penn State would have to win the Penn State would championship. Have to win, yeah.
And then probably like a couple extra games just to, you know, add some incentive
exactly.
If there were time. Yeah. But we got some Minnesotans that are going to play in the tournament, right?
Right. I mean, but, you know, Ross Travis, I mean, he's one of those guys that it kind of shows that, hey, you know, he could have played for the Gophers, you know. And every time the NCAA tournament comes around, There are players from Minnesota that kind of break out, and you're wondering, like, what could have been, you know? And then
why
this year,
wasn't he in a Gopher jersey?
Well, we all know Tyus Jones. You know, that would have never happened. I mean, he's at Duke doing great things. You know, they did lose, and I think that, you know, I think the chances for them getting a number one seed might be tested a little bit. But, you know, Ryan, he's Mr. High School. He knows all the kids that are playing for these smaller schools, and we got the list of clinched automatic bids for the NCAA tournament right now, and there's quite a few Minnesota kids already.
Let's do this. Northeastern is going to the dance. They're led by Zach Stahl. Zach Stahl at one point was was a front runner for Mr. Basketball. He was at Hopkins, but he had some off the court issues that, you know, he didn't finish the season out. But Zach, big things were predicted when Zach was having a great senior year. Northern Iowa, Marvin Singleton, another Hopkins guy. He's playing a great role for them, just as the tough guy, the worker.
That's a team
guy
right there, Northern Iowa. A lot of people are going to pick
yes.
to be like, you know, one of those Cinderella teams. I'm guessing. Although they're like a top 15 team this year.
Right.
They might have a pretty high seed, so I don't know how, if you call that Cinderella or not. But
yeah, it can't be really Cinderella. When you're top 10, you got to go. I mean, dude, Kyle Green's
Northern Iowa, man. If Northern Iowa makes the Final Four,
it's not Kentucky.
You know, but when Butler made their run, you know, a couple years in a row, I mean, they were still a Cinderella team, in my opinion. So
Northern Iowa, they're big down there. You see, Kyle Green was coming out in designer clothes the other day at the nice. NCAA tournament. Shout out, nice. Kyle. he's one of their assistant coaches. Lafayette, Seth Heinrichs, he's from McCray. He's going to be like the player of the year in that conference. He's been
really?
Fantastic.
Okay. Can he be like, you know, Nate Walters then, maybe?
And he's a different player than Nate. Like,
okay, but I mean, you know, Nate, you know, he showed up in the NCAA tournament, won a game, so.
Seth could do that, but Seth's more of a catch-and-shoot guy. But he also has a little bit more to his game. He's a good defender. He's a tall kid, so he plays some four rebounds tough. Wofford has C.J. Newman. He's from Creighton Durham Hall. And North Dakota State has a couple walk-ons that I think Brian Ishla played a little bit, but not anymore, though. So, yeah, Minnesota kids in the dance, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a few teams that made automatic bids right now. And I mean, look at the way that Tyus Jones played this year. He might have actually kept Jahlil Okafor from winning Player of the Year, in my opinion, because
really?
It seems like all the big games.
It's been Tyus that's stepped up.
They
lost
last night. Jahlil had, you know, and that's
what happened there.
And Jahlil, that proves
Jahlil
my point. Jahlil had 28 points and they lost. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, they've had big games from Tyus as well, and, you know, Clint Cook and some of those other guys. So, I mean, when you look at this year, if you're going to have an MVP of a kid from Minnesota that did not play for the Gophers, it's obviously Tyus Jones. But
ooh, Seth could get it, though.
Yeah.
Player of the Year in his league.
Yeah, from your opinion. But I think Ryan is no doubt that it's Tyus Jones if you're going
fine.
With a kid from Minnesota.
Who is that? Who's Seth? Who is it?
Seth Heinrichs. Yep, from McCray.
The most underrated kid that did not play for the Gophers would have to be this kid here. But there's going to be a lot of kids that we're going to see in the NCAA tournament that we didn't even think. You know, they say, that kid ended up there, you know, and there's a lot of kids that probably Ryan doesn't even know about.
I mean, I think
it just happens every year.
Really.
I don't know.
He's got 75.
He's trying to look it up right now.
I think
right
the Tyus, though, to come to that, I mean, that's for the casual fan. You
right.
know what I mean? For the fan who's not entrenched in and maybe just fills out a bracket and they're like, oh, what's going on with Duke? I mean, that's cool that we can say, oh, you know, they got a dude from Minnesota on the squad. And not only that, but I mean, he could end up being like the most, suppose they make a run. Suppose that they really.
They win a national championship. I mean, Khalil Amin.
I mean, they're a number two team. They're a ranked two, I think, in the country, right?
Right.
But that might even be a little bit of an underrate. I mean, Kentucky is whatever.
Nobody's going to beat Kentucky.
It's crazy. But I don't know, man. Like
Wisconsin's not going to beat Kentucky.
I think that combo, though, that you're speaking about is Okafor and Tyus. I mean, that's something to deal with. And then Winslow is a dog.
But see, it comes down to defense, and that's one of the reasons why they lost last night. Notre Dame had an incredible play from their freshman, a kid that actually Minnesota recruited, Bonzi Colson. But I think it just comes to balance, you know. And I think when Duke is hitting their outside shots, you know, Clint Cook is playing at a high level, they have a shot. But I think teams that have balanced athleticism, you know, that can make it tough for Jahlil a little bit. You know, I think Jahlil obviously had 28 points in that game, but in the first half there, I mean, they kind of picked their poison. I mean, they were going to allow, you know, him to get his shots and shut down Duke from the perimeter. And when you shut down Duke from the perimeter, I'm sorry, they can lose to anybody, and they've shown it in the past. But I still think that they're going to make a run. You know, I want to give Travis a chance to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, a Minnesota kid, you know, he goes away, doesn't get an opportunity to play for the Gophers,
right.
Which that's what happened to you
right.
coming out of high school. So, I mean, what's in your mindset when you're going to another school and you're thinking, man, if I can make the tournament, if I can, you know, make a name for myself, I mean, do you feel like you're going to prove them wrong a little bit?
Exactly. Yeah, I had a huge chip on my shoulder when I left. And I think you always have to play with one.
Well, you're Mr. Basketball, too, so, I mean.
Yeah, so it was frustrating. I was pretty upset about it. You know, I didn't talk much about it,
right.
But I mean, that killed me. So I went out there and my intentions were to put Cal Poly on the map. Didn't happen out there, but you know, I come back and talk to Coach Munson, and he tells me that he loves the way that I play, and he loved me in high school. It's like, well,
where were you, bro?
You knew my
why
address.
Were you coaching Brandon?
Yeah,
I'm in the phone book.
Yeah, call me.
You got Google?
Yeah,
you or Yahoo done back
something.
Then.
Yeah, but that was just like, I don't know. It's you definitely want to show them they were wrong if you're any kind of competitor. I think every kid that leaves and wasn't recruited thinks the same way.
Yeah, Nate Walters obviously is the guy that kind of, you know, we all think about when we think about kids that went away and then were huge. I mean, he was like the darling of college basketball for a while. And if you look this year, as a freshman, JP McCura, Xavier, I think, has a pretty good shot to make the tournament.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to see him. He started actually as a freshman at the end of this year for Xavier.
Yeah.
So, and they could make a run. I mean, they're a team that not a lot of people are talking about.
They're in a championship.
Let's not forget Harvard, too.
Yeah.
Harvard's got a couple of our locals, too. Yeah. Santa Chambers.
They're playing
Jonas
for a chance
Travis.
To make it, right, today versus Yale. I think you're right about Harvard. Last year, I had them, I had Harvard going in Sweet 16 last year. I think they let me
what?
Down. They beat some teams. Last year, they were a top 10 seed, I think, last year. So it would have been out
really?
Of question.
He's just a huge Amaker fan. That's
I'm surprised
they did him wrong in Michigan.
Yet.
They did him wrong.
Yeah, they did. Definitely. But.
Yeah, when you look at, like I said, I mean, I think Nate Walters is a guy that everybody thinks about, but there's also a lot plays into that when a kid is in the same class as other highly recruited players from Minnesota, you know. And so the year that Blake, you had Blake, you had Trevor Mbakwe, you had Cole Aldridge, you know, that same year, I want to say that you know, they had other players. You know, I don't think that was Nate's year. I think Nate's year was the year with Royce White and Rodney Williams.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so what are you going to do? Are you going to give Nate a scholarship and Royce and Rodney? You know, I mean, Tubby's not from Minnesota. He's not going to get all Minnesota guys, you know.
Right.
Tino's not from necessarily this area of Minnesota. He's not going to get all
but
Minnesota guys.
But you can win
guys.
With Minnesota guys.
Yeah, and
you,
mm-hmm. And that was a bad year for, like, that was a great year for Minnesota high school basketball, and there was only so many scholarships to give. I mean, you're going after Rodney, you're going after Royce, not to mention they grabbed Trevor. So three of their four are already Minnesota.
Right.
And then they went after Justin Cobbs. And that's not a bad pick either. I mean, he's an all-Pac-10.
He flourished on Cal. Yeah,
yeah.
Cal.
He wasn't Nate Walters, but, you know, and
that's true.
You know, it's tough to make that choice. I mean, Mike Muscala again, right? Yeah. It was that same class.
Well, Mike Brusewitz was the player of the year for everybody
in
that year,
yeah.
And he went to Wisconsin, and
all the kids,
even more.
All the kids were talking about kids that played in the NCAA tournament from Minnesota, you know, that didn't necessarily
automatically when you're the coach here, you see kids from California, Texas, Florida, East Coast,
yep.
And some reason they shine a little more to you. If it's in your backyard, you don't really think about it,
right.
You know, it's
that's kind of the Minnesota
the
way, isn't it? Like, you really, I think, no matter what it is that you do, you have to, in order to sort of validate yourself with Minnesotans, you have to leave.
Sure.
You go somewhere else, and then if you go somewhere else and shine, they're like, oh, yeah, that's our,
and then
that's
you come
our
back,
kid.
The guy
that's why
yeah.
Travis had the best college career ever. He went to Cal Poly,
yep.
Which is the best campus in the country.
Ever.
Then
yeah.
He came home. Then he went to the mountains of Colorado. Come on now.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There you go.
That's not a bad move.
My world tour.
Nice. You want to hit us up on the ticket line at 651-989-9105. You can certainly tweet us as well. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. Especially you got a response to our poll question today. Best play in Minnesota postseason history. It's the Hoff. What was I calling it? The Bush Harbor shot. Bush Hoff sounds like a
it.
Beer. I don't know. We've got Travis Bush in with us today. It's one and done on 105 The Ticket. We're gonna preview some more tournament play because we've got the Big Ten semifinal, Purdue and Wisconsin, in about 15 minutes or so. Coverage starts. So stick around.
Back to one and done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I think I just hung up on the caller that we had. There's some games to get into this week. All right, we're going to have the second round of the NCAA tournament on 105 The Ticket, 11 a.m. Thursday and Friday. Tune in for the Benchwarmers tomorrow at 10 a.m. Dave Schwartz and Jill from 93X will have Gopher Women's head coach Marlene Stallings on the show. That's the Benchwarmers tomorrow at 10 a.m. on 105 The Ticket. The 4A finals are on the ticket tonight, Champlain Park and Apple Valley. It starts at 8, and after we wrap up here in the next 15 minutes, you'll hear the Big Ten semifinals, Purdue and Wisconsin, followed by Maryland and Michigan State at 2 p.m., and there's a few conference championship games to watch today. North Carolina and Notre Dame on ESPN tonight, Villanova and Xavier in the Big East final, Arizona and Oregon in the Pac-12. It's March, man. The madness is it's beginning. My question, though, is how far can some of these Big Ten teams go in a tournament?
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question because I think that, you know, you look at Wisconsin and everybody, you know, we're going to slide them into the one seed right now. Let's just say they win the Big Ten tournament. You know, Ryan said, yeah, there probably will be a two seed, but let's just say if they win the Big Ten tournament, it's going to be, I think they have a good shot. They got a good shot.
I say,
but let's just take Wisconsin out of it for now. Let's just say Purdue, you know, I think Purdue can, with the physical presence they have inside with AJ Hammonds, and some of their guards have been playing a lot better this year. Rafael Davis is an all Big Ten player. I think they have a chance to surprise somebody in the first round and maybe even win another game because you're not going to be able to simulate 2 7-footers like they have and as physical as they play. I mean, they play the brand of basketball that Michigan State has had in the past. And Michigan State's another team with Tom Izzo. You never count them out. March Madness. I don't think they have the firepower this year to win and get as far as he has in the past. Obviously, Final Four, National Championship. But Michigan State and Purdue are some of the two teams that I think that might surprise people and win a couple games.
I think the Big Ten's first round NCAA tournament record is going to look great, and the second round is going to be ugly. I don't think Purdue and Michigan State are getting past that second round.
Depends on the matchup.
The traditional second
round. Depends on the matchup.
I'm not talking about the little pigtail games. I'm talking about the traditional second round.
But those two teams are not going to be playing teams. You know what I mean? So they'll play. Yeah. You're right. Second game will be a really tough game. They'll be a really tough game. But, you know, traditionally, the last couple years, a team that's been in that play-in game has won a couple games. I mean, obviously, you win one to get in to the natural tournament. But this year, Indiana's a team that could be right on that line. I mean, they could play be in that play-in game. You know, you have a three-point shooting team like them that can get hot. Like they did versus the Gophers hitting 18 three-pointers. I mean, Yogi Ferrell,
that's scary. I think they're better than their record, too.
Yeah, they're athletic.
I'm surprised that they're even
they don't have much depth. Yeah, they don't have much depth. Yeah, but I think Indiana's a team that if they get in, they could win a game for sure.
All right, I dropped the line. I'm sure this is probably the caller that I hung up on while we were at commercial break. You're on with One and Done. It's 105 The Ticket. Hello.
Hey, Marcus. Wally Langfellow here.
Oh, Wally, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Good, how are you? Hey, did you guys... You guys talk much about tonight's state championship game. I heard you plug it a little bit. The broadcast we're going to do tonight. Just wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were about Apple Valley and Champlain Park tonight.
Thanks, Wally. You just wanted to come on and get a plug, didn't you?
Boy, oh boy.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, we appreciate it, Wally. Yeah, we're talking about it a little bit. Marcus, why don't we go to Ryan first? That makes some sense to me.
Hey, Wally, first of all, that magazine you got, who's your photographers? The photographs in there are outstanding, man.
We've got guys that they shoot for Sports Illustrated and they shoot for ESPN, the magazine, and they're just they're the best. Thank you very much. Appreciate the compliment, but they are the best.
Yeah, the Minnesota Score, that's a magazine. Yeah, it's a nice magazine. We've talked about this 4A championship game a lot. Now, we've been through all the talent, all the players. You know, what's going to happen? You know, Champa Park won the first game. JT had one of the best performances that we've seen in a long time. Can they do that again? A lot of the high school coaches they think Apple Valley. A lot of, because they're a little bit deeper, a little bit bigger. That's what a lot of the high school coaches think is going to happen. I don't know that if JT can have that same type of performance. JT's outstanding. Yeah. And I think he's a great chance to win Mr. Basketball. Can he have the same performance to get them over the Apple Valley hump this next time? That's going to be tough, but he has the talent to do it. I think we're in for one of the best games that we're going to see in a long time tonight. It's almost impossible to pick a winner.
Yeah,
honest with you.
Say that there's a revenge factor too, though, for Apple Valley?
There's definitely going to be a revenge factor.
I think
factor.
That were they a surprise? I mean, Champlain Park did surprise Apple Valley.
Was it safe a surprise?
Was it a surprise? I mean, for JT to play that way that big of a game. I mean, I think
that way maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I mean,
he had a classic performance.
JT's not gonna surprise anybody this time.
No.
I mean, they're gonna they're Would you be would you be shocked if they shut him down?
No, I don't think they're going to shut him down because they were all over him last time. He was making shots with people in his grill completely. Is he going to make that type of shot this time? I don't know. But then his teammates, he's got some two sophomore teammates in McKinley Wright and Theo Jano who have grown in the last 3 months. And, I mean, look at Theo did the other day.
That's a matchup that I want to see down low. I mean,
yeah, you know, Brock Bertram.
Yep. I mean, Brock's a load.
He is a load, man.
And, you know, I've talked about this off air. I mean, I think that the Gophers, anytime you have a big man, you know, in the state that, that's got size and you know, I mean, coach him up. I mean, whether you're going to get a scholarship or not, you know, in the Big Ten, who knows? I don't think he, you know, right now, he doesn't have any scholarship offers from any Big Ten schools, right?
Who's that? Say it again?
Brock Bertram.
Oh, no, he's just Texas Tech.
But if there's a kid in your state that's got size and has a chance to be a maybe a high-level big man, you put him in your program, you develop him a little bit, you know. I mean, obviously, the way that Patino plays, just like Mo Walker, I mean, he's going to have to work on his body a little bit. But you need to keep those kids. You can't let those kids get away from Minnesota.
Wally, you got a pick for tonight?
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you talk about JT Gibson. And we had, you know, we have our high school basketball show on Monday nights, and we had Trey Jones and we had Trent Jr. on a few weeks ago, and they were on with their coach, with Coach Goring, and I said, so what happened up in St. Cloud? And Trent Jr., he said, JT Gibson happened. And it really was. I mean, I think he had 42 in that game. He just went off. But that being said, you know, and I've seen both of these teams, you know, probably about three times each this year. I just like the diversity of what Apple Valley does. I don't necessarily know if it's depth as opposed to diversity. I like the fact that they've got a playmaker in Trey Jones. I like the fact that they've got the big man in Bertram. I like what Kirksey does. He's kind of a grinder down there along with this Riley Parham that comes off the bench. And then you've Trent Jr. Is your scorer. And then Bertram. I just think that size might be a factor. I saw JT Gibson get frustrated, you know, against Shakopee the other day, and I was kind of surprised by that. Now, he still ended up with, I think he ended up with 17, 19 points, but, you know, he let his emotions carry him away a little bit. He got in some foul trouble. I think it'll be an interesting matchup. I agree. I think this is going to be a great championship game. I hope it measures up to what we saw last year. Obviously, that championship game last year between Lakeville North and Hopkins was epic, and so were the semifinals. But I think this one will measure up tonight. I think these are clearly the two best teams in the state of Minnesota, and you know, we'll see what happens. Everybody is all the consensus. Everybody I talk to is Champlin Park, and I know that, like you said, that the coaches think it's Apple Valley. I'm leaning with the coaches. I think it's going to be Apple Valley, but I would not be surprised either way.
Molly, we appreciate you calling. The next time that you want to come in, just come on in.
Just walk in the door.
Well, you just come on in. It's an open door. It's kind of a locker room in here. So we would love to have you in here. You know, whether or not you're going to wear a towel or actually fully clothed. That's. Wait, I just went somewhere. Sorry.
Yeah, I just went somewhere.
Where are you? I'm afraid you just lost.
Thanks for calling again. We appreciate it, Wally. Have fun at the game tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
No, that game, JT had seven threes. And 38 points.
It'd be hard to duplicate.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to duplicate.
You got to go with Champlin Park, though. I mean, when you have the best player potentially in the state right now, you got to lean that way.
But doesn't Theo have to have a huge game? I mean, he's got to supplement that a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but Travis, you look at, you know, you've been following some of these high school teams a little bit. You said you like Champlin Park. But they, you know, De La Salle is a team that, you know, they might not get much competition. But you know, when you can win four straight state championships, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I know you played around the time when Henry, you know, did their thing, and maybe a little after that. But I mean, would you, Henry and you know, De La Salle? I mean, how would you compare the two teams if let's say De La Salle goes on and wins four straight like Henry did? I mean,
yeah.
Or who wins? Better yet, who wins in a matchup against the two?
Probably Henry.
Yeah.
Henry for sure.
Yeah.
I think that Henry did it. They went up to 4A and it kind of changed things a little bit. We ran into them on our section, run to state, took them out. different team, but whatever. Sure, anyway, sure. But with De La Salle, I think they got to move up.
I would agree.
I think they have to move up. There's no reason that they have all that D1 talent and they're playing in class 3A.
You know,
even though it's a good class, but it's not 4A. It just isn't.
I understand that their school isn't as big and they maybe not have as many guys, but you've already proven three times.
There's
over,
nothing else to prove.
Yeah, like go ahead and try it. And if it does, you know, you can go back down. Henry's gone back down a long time ago. I would like to.
There's 1A now.
Yep, boxers do it all the time.
Yeah, I'd like
go up and down weights.
I'd just like to see it like for a 2-year stretch, get in that right section. So,
we've got the game starting in just a couple of minutes. Purdue and Wisconsin. What are you thinking about like top seed picks entering the tournament? What are we looking at? Just to give me a little snippet.
Well, no question, you know, Kentucky. You know, are they going to lose in the SEC tournament? No, nobody's going to knock them out. And you know, really, I think that there's a chance for you know, Wisconsin to get in that one line. You know, I think whatever you know Ryan says. You know, hey man, you know, certainly right now it looks like a number two seed. But if they win the Big Ten tournament, I think that's impressive enough. I think they'll get a one. Duke losing, you know, that might hurt them a little bit, but I think they still deserve to get a one. You know, Arizona will probably win the Pac-12 tournament. And to me, they might be a favorite or a sleeper team to take out Kentucky, depending on where they are in Arizona. I think they have enough talent to take out Kentucky. I really do believe it. I think they have enough size. So to me, if you say right now, who are my four number one seeds, it would be Kentucky, Duke, Wisconsin, and Arizona.
I think that's a fair assessment. You want to respond?
You know, I think Villanova's got to be in there. Did you say Villanova? I don't think you did.
I did not say Villanova.
You should have said Villanova. Jay Wright should all. I was trying to say he's going to be coach of the year earlier, too.
Yeah, I'm questioning the competition in that league a little bit.
Villanova should be done. I think you got to look at Duke and Virginia. I would have had them yesterday. I would have had them number ones. But, I mean, both of them losing, I don't know. Wisconsin takes one. I think Wisconsin could take one of their spots.
Travis, I want to let you know again, I appreciate you coming out and hanging out for the whole show. I mean, we usually only, it was one and done. We usually just do this for an hour. And you hung out for the whole hour 45 on the anniversary of your play, which our Twitter followers have decided it was the best in Minnesota postseason history.
Awesome.
Maybe John Onney's layup in 1999 tournament was a runner-up.
That was a big ticket.
They called him the big ticket, and as a joke for when KG came in. So there you go, John.
We're going to be back next week at 10 a.m. for our regular hours. One and done on 105 The Ticket. Thanks for hanging out.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.